Hello and welcome to Elder Affairs here on this beautiful Friday. We're here today with Dr. Saborin and Stephanie from Coastal Foot and Ankle. And I'm ready for the entertainment. Do tell.
I hope I can deliver. Jeez. Well, today what we're going to do, instead of just different topics of, you know, foot stuff, which if a lot of my loyal listeners are probably getting bored of as we talk ad nauseum about fungal infections and flip-flops. Today we're going to do kind of something I would do with my residents. First of all, for people who might not know, residents are doctors who have just graduated med school. And your first year of residency, you do what's called an internship, and you're basically working in the hospital under the tutelage of senior residents who have been there for a couple of years, specifically, say, internal medicine. And for 1 year, you're kind of working up patients on the floor. You're in your internal medicine team, kind of doing medicine things, you know, working on heart patients or anything that comes across the board. And then the following year, you start to go into your specialties unless you're staying with internal medicine. So for podiatry, then you would just branch off and be on our service, and we would teach you surgery. And every other month or two, you'd switch off service for a little while and say go to gen surge and do some lap colies, things like that, or vascular and fix a couple AAAs or fempop bypasses, all those things to revascularize you. And then maybe a month on interventional radiology, where you we use small devices to open up arteries and legs, or just be on radiology in general, followed by maybe a plastics month or infectious disease, which is awful to do, but in the end, that's one of those things that does help you throughout your life, because you will be dealing with bacterial infections until the day you retire. So when a patient comes into the hospital and they call us at whatever time of day or what have you, and they'll present to us, and what they'll do is they'll say, well, I've got an 80-year-old male who comes in today with an ulceration. He has problems with diabetes, high blood pressure, peripheral vascular disease, and then just go through the myriad of all these things wrong with him, and then go over the medications and his allergies, and then will describe to me, you know, does he have pulses? Is his foot red and swollen? Is, you know, what's going on? Is it a fracture? What do the radiographs say? You know, does, when the radiographs show a horrible fracture, can he feel? Has the nerve or the arteries been affected? So that's a workup. So what today I'm going to do is I'm going to work up one of the patients who I've been seeing on and off for, well, pretty much regularly lately, for a cascade of, I guess, issues. And I think it'll be good for the audience, because you can see how a couple simple problems combined over time can add to bigger problems, and then make those bigger problems become chronic, meaning long-lasting. So in this case, it is an 80-year-old or soon-to-be 80-year-old male. He has very bad vascular disease, so much so that during the course of this year and a half, he's been revascularized. And there's a lot of ways to get blood down to the foot. You can do stenting, where basically they'll put a small wire up into one of your veins, and at the end of the wire is this compressed, kind of spring-loaded tube, and it's very, very narrow. But once they get it to the spot where the blockage is, they'll push through, they'll turn a little dial, and the stent will disengage and kind of spring open and kind of hold that tube up, and that allows blood to go through. So we've had that a bunch of times. He has diabetes. So, and we all know that with diabetes, it's not just a thing with sugar. It has other effects on the body, both vascular disease and the nerves. So he doesn't feel very well either. So he doesn't have a good blood supply, even though he's been revascularized, and he doesn't feel very well.
Feel very well as in?
As he can't really, if
feel
he can
sensation.
Barely, like,
yeah,
if
sensation.
You squeezed his foot, he could feel that. But if he walked on a tack, he wouldn't notice it. He'd walk right down the hall bleeding and be like, you know, what happened here?
And overall, he probably doesn't feel well either.
Yeah,
the sensation
in general,
is what you
yeah,
mean.
I mean, there's a lot going on, because you figure if your blood supply to your leg and foot aren't good, you got to figure around your heart. It's pretty similar. So there's a lot of facets to this. So he would come in on and off for what we call routine care. We just kind of check out the foot, clean up the nails, make sure he doesn't get infections, and keep an eye on him. Well, he came in with these ulcers. So what happens is, because of pressure, because he can't feel, the skin kind of gets irritated. And normally if your skin gets irritated, the next day it's healed because you got blood and it heals right up. But for this guy, he doesn't have blood and he doesn't feel it. So the skin dies and it gets worse and worse. And you every week have to do wound care. Wound care is basically removing that dead tissue down to bleeding tissue, you hope, and putting medications or antibiotics on it so it doesn't get worse, and then telling the patient to keep pressure off it. So we did that for quite a while, but unfortunately these problems get worse, and it was specifically his big toe and his second toe. So this went on for months and months, and finally get to the point where one day I could feel the bone of both his great toe and second toe, and when that happens, the party's over. There's really no way to fix it efficiently. You can go on IV antibiotics for 6 weeks, which we do for bone infections, but in these cases that almost never works. So definitive treatment is removing the joint or that part of the toe or foot, depending on how bad it is. So in this case we took his second toe off, and I only took off part of the great toe. So if you look at your great toe or even your thumb, that first joint behind your toenail, that's kind of where I took this off. And when you do an amputation, I don't know if anyone really has to know, but I guess I'll tell everything. You got to leave some extra skin so you can fold it up and over, and you bring the skin from the bottom of the foot, in this case, up towards the top, because that skin's always tougher. So we did that, and normally sutures come out about 2 weeks, give or take, and usually they're pretty good after that. This guy, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, the second toe finally closed, but the great toe never really did. It had this like little slit in the end. And for months and months, I tried everything on this guy. It was terrible. I tried antibiotic creams and offloading. I tried this stuff called Promogram, which is, it's kind of like if you had a rose bush and you wanted to make it grow in a certain position, you'd put up a trellis. Well, this is kind of like a trellis for baby cells to grow into. So I'm doing that where I even had some patients, they had terrible wounds, and we used amniotic fluid on them. Basically, the amniotic fluid is dried out, freeze-dried, and it's like a little patch, and you cut a slab off and you put it on. So I had extra, because that stuff's like $1,000, and I'm not throwing it away. I grew up in a three-decker. I respect a dollar. So I take those, and I put it on him. So he was getting the best of the best, and it still just wouldn't close. So finally I said, after months, something's got to be done. And the standard of care really is you're supposed to have 50% healing in almost every 3 weeks or less. So in a sense, I kind of was not really following the rule, because every week I thought it would be better. There was no reason why not. So last week I finally got sick of it, much like his family. And what I did was I opened up that area and I took away a lot of the fat that's underneath the skin and roughened the edges so they bled, and I sewed them up in the office. So he came in this week and he's doing better. The edges of the wound are good. It's just the very central part of this wound. But normally the sutures come out in 2 weeks. So I'm hopeful that next week he'll have a lot of success. The problem is for him, he sees what I'm doing. But we've had a lot of problems lately. And I think it's nice in a way, but it's annoying in the other way. Families who, I'm not going to say second guess, but they drive patients nuts. Like this guy's family is like, oh, you should go to wound care. Well, that's an option. But right now, wound care won't do anything because they've got this guy sewn up. And second of all, I was at Kent County Wound Care for years. So it's not like, and not to pat my own back, but a lot of the people in the local wound care center here are actually trained. Mm. So I'd like to think I still know more than them. Teaching those one, the student, whether or not, that's probably not true, but I'd like to believe it. So I feel bad for this guy that he's going through this problem. And it looks like, thank God, it's all going to work out. But it is a long process, both for patient, but family members, you know, sometimes it's tough.
It's tough, driven yes.
Crazy. Mm. So I'm kind of diverging now that you kind of see that this guy's doing well. So everyone, don't worry at home. He's going to be fixed. But it's just family members that can drive people crazy. So that's what we'll kind of diverge to. So, for instance, we had two patients today, this man being one, another patient who are just having the hardest time at home. You know, patients are already under a lot of stress. They're feeling these issues. They're living with it. They're dealing with keeping their foot dry or their body dry because they can't take a shower. And then they got people who read something on the internet who are all of a sudden MDs, and they're just driving these people crazy. So yeah. It's nice that family members love you, and if you are one of these people, you know, say, look, you know, maybe put your 2 cents in that you read something from McCall's or whatever. What's it? Women's Day, or
I don't know, Home and Garden, Men's Health, I don't know, whatever. Something silly that doesn't matter.
But yeah, yeah. Just give your opinions to your family member. You know, say, look, I only say do this because I love you, but did he try this? And then drop it. Don't try to give like a mid-afternoon lecture to someone who's already in pain, already mentally in anguish because they've been dealing with this crap. Because what they do is they come to my office and we talk about it and I explain it to them. They're like, I know. They're driving me nuts. And I feel bad for these patients. We had another patient, a summer person coming in today with a fracture. And meanwhile, she's being treated by a niece in a faraway state who doesn't even do anything with podiatry or orthopedics. She's like a vascular PA. And she's like trying to dictate this person's care on a fracture. It's like,
yeah, it's really hard for us as a practice manager for myself and my staff to help patients. If you spend a good amount of time with Dr. Saborn in the room face-to-face and Dr. Saborn spends a lot of time with patients explaining everything, treatment options, what your plan of care is, and then they walk out the door and they call me in 5 minutes and say, well, Stephanie, should I be in a boot? Or, well, should I mean, I just had surgery 2 days ago. Should I go swimming in a beach that they just shut down because the bacteria content was high for a week?
Oh, yeah.
And I just had an open wound. This is the stuff that I hear every day. And I sit there and I love my patients more than anything. But you are spending a half an hour with Dr. Warren in a room face to face. And you leave and you ask these questions because your family member says, oh, well, did he do this and why not?
So I know we have more cases or at least one more.
Well,
right?
Yeah, no, we can think of other things. But yeah, I just.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll hear the rest when we come back. Yeah. Welcome back to Elder Affairs, and let's continue with these case studies and hear about problems that we want to avoid that other people have.
Yeah, so we kind of talked a little bit about that poor man who fortunately is turning the corner. What I might do today is we've had a couple patients coming in, some summer people with different fractures and stuff, but I'm not even going to go down that road. It's kind of going to be more simple stuff that we're seeing this summer between injuries and or self-inflicted wounds. So self-inflicted wounds are kind of, they can be really exciting or very benign. We'll go with a benign one today. It's not just summer people. It's almost any person, but something as simple as cutting your toenails. All right. So we today had two people already today come in and got an infection from just cutting their toenails. And these weren't really sick people. These were even yesterday. We got them almost every day. Yesterday was a kid just digging in the corners. And today were two people that were digging in the corners. I have no problem with people cutting their nails in the corners, because most people, as they get older, because of blood pressure and or other things, the nails are no longer flat like a little baby, and you cut them straight across, it's almost impossible. Either you're going to have these pointy things on the end or the nails curve in. So a lot of people go fishing in those corners. That's all well and good, but you have to have the right tools. And you know, granted, here's the cobbler telling you where to get a hammer and an anvil, but you should probably pick up what's called a nail nipper, NIPPER. They're pretty inexpensive. You want to get the small one, if you're listening, 2 1/4 inch. And what that'll do is that'll allow you, if you have these nails that are more apt to be wedged out in the corner, you use these instead of that stupid little pinchy thing that you can't see. And if you got a gut like mine, you're wheezing and hemming and hawing as you're trying to cut them. So get yourself a nail nipper, and you're probably less apt to pinch your skin. Also, too, do yourself a favor, buy some Neosporin or Bacitracin, and just, especially if you're going fishing in between the corners there, put some in there. If I had a dime for time, like I said, two already today who had their big, gross, draining horror from cutting their toes 2 days ago, just do yourself a favor.
So these nail nippers, you get them at CVS? Or
yeah, or Amazon. I mean, personally.
You can go to Sally's Beauty Supply.
Yeah.
There's one in Fall River, a beauty supply store. They have them. And the Tweezerman ones are really good. The stainless steel ones are really nice.
Okay. Yeah. And is there a better time to clip your toenails out of the shower before
probably
the
out
shower?
Of the shower, as soon as you're out of the shower, because in theory they're softer and in theory you're cleaner. You've actually put some soap on those dogs. But when you get the nipper, get the small one, 2 1/4, it's easy. And also, I'm really giving all the trade secrets, flat nail, and it's nail, not tissue. So you want a flat, that means one side of it's really flat, and 2 1/4 inch. Those are the easiest ones, I think, for most people to be able to do a good job and not hurt themselves. Because, you know, I don't even know who came up with that little pinchy thing that you do. It's like, you know, you know, like a regular nail clipper.
Yeah.
Like, that's mental on you. Like, I don't know how people can do that on their toes.
Really? It seemed to work fine with me.
Oh, when you get this thing, you'll be like, oh, my God. I'm never going
okay,
back.
Okay, nail
I'm
nipper.
I'm going to send that guy money for that great advice.
I'm going to go check it out.
850 Aquinic Ave if you want to send it. all right, so that's one thing. We are seeing or have been seeing with kids shell injuries, foreign body. We had one, a Nantucket. She was going, what's the name of that?
Nantucket.
Quacket, sorry. Yep.
Nantucket.
Well, anyway, she was, I guess, waiting, trying to, she was getting clam cakes over at that restaurant there.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend had a skiff, and there was some kind of commotion between the two lovebirds, and she just jumped out into the water and landed on some kind of shell. And
ugh.
So that brought her to the office to fish that out. You know, if you guys are jumping in saltwater ponds, marshes, even fabulous red tide second beach. Be careful where you're walking. If you're in that gritty, sandy area, maybe move down to someplace that's a little better.
Where I am like one of those weird people when I go to a beach or a pool, I wear shoes, flip flops.
I
it just freaks me out. Well, working in podiatry, like where if you're on a boat or doing anything, wear flip flops or.
I just
water
don't like standing
shoes.
On it.
Agreed.
Nantucket is muddy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not even. It's not even well, nice to stand
it's gross.
In.
Gross.
Yeah, and you won't even know what probably the runoff is from all those dogs.
Oh,
who live on the
yeah.
side.
I can't. I go to a public, like water whiz with my kids when they were little. I had to wear shoes, and everyone looked at me, and I was like,
nope,
warts gross. And fungus.
But you can't
and,
see where you step in and put on a shoe.
Yeah, especially
agreed.
In muddy ponds. What else? Let's see. We're getting a couple boat injuries, some cleats, the usual people. Having a couple beers, staring at the sunset as they prance across their bow and all of a sudden clunk. Those are always a treat. We haven't had too many internationals this summer. For a while there.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of yacht crew.
A lot of yachties coming in.
Yeah, people that were on the...
Those big mega yachts.
Stewards. The stewards and the stewardesses.
Stewardesses, yeah.
Any burnt feet this year?
No, not yet.
No.
Not yet. Well, it's lucky lately.
Hasn't been...
Yeah, I don't know, the patient population, maybe from this little talk if people are listening.
You are educating us.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, we haven't had any hamburger feet come in. That's a, you know,
gross.
That's so gross.
We haven't had any motorcycle, like bike injuries, like taking skin off or anything.
Good.
Yeah, no big road rash.
Yeah.
It's been, and trauma-wise, it's been a good summer for the population. Not so much for me, you know.
I mean, well, here we go.
But, you know, I'm a cheerleader for good. So
hey, we got 49 days left this summer.
I don't
so
even believe it. Yeah, but the season stretches so much now. Like, it's still hot in September.
It is.
Yeah, I actually drove by one of the orchards off of Wapping Road, and the apples are getting red. My pumpkin patch is dry. Oh, anyways, Stephanie's giving me that look.
We're going to talk about pumpkins now, Josh Sporn's garden, everyone.
Hey,
this
no.
is what we're going to do. We're going to go from foot health to garden health.
I can see the transition.
Garden
I mean,
health.
You can work in the garden and probably injure your feet, too.
Oh, yeah. That
bees.
Happens.
See? If you got clover in your yard, you better have some shoes on. I have bees, and the bees are everywhere, you know, going on clover. And if you prance across the lawn and bare feet every so often.
Evan got stung by a bee walking in the backyard. And we had to soak his foot in vinegar and.
I think that's a wife's tale.
John, I
like
swear
jellyfish
to God,
like pee in your
no,
foot.
we soaked his foot in warm water, baking soda, and vinegar, and it helped the
sting.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing is quickly look at that area and scrape with your fingernail that venom sac as soon as possible.
Well, if there's no right. there's no stinger in there, he was fine.
Oh, was it?
Oh, it just hurt.
I got stung the other day on my knee. Holy, that's the worst spot.
Keep those bees to yourself. I don't want any.
They could be bad. All right. As far as the rest of the summer goes, everyone wear your shoes. Stop. Actually, there's a new shoe coming out or is out that everyone's starting to wear in the office, and they're very happy with it. I don't know. It looks kind of random to me. It's called those Ofas. I don't know if you've seen them on TV.
No. What are these?
So it's this kind of, it's like a slide, a slip-on sandal kind of thing. And they're promoting it as a way after a workout for your feet to be rested or whatever. It's just basically a heavy foam slide sandal. A lady brought one in, a pair in this morning because she was all happy about it. She has plantar fasciitis. And she says, I jump in these right when I get out of bed. And so, I don't know. They seem okay. So, if you guys want to buy one, go ahead. I think Ofa or Ufa.
I'm going to look it up right
and
now,
And you
everyone.
Think that they
they're okay. Are they're, okay. They're decent. The price is ridiculous. I think it's like $70.
Well, I'm looking right now, and they are between $59. The slides, they look like the Adidas slides, but also like the Yeezy slides that are out now. Like the really
so
cool.
It's a thicker sold without
they're the,
with a
those,
high
those,
foam
they're
arch.
They're basically everyone out there in Radioland. It's the cloud ones, the cloud walkers. I've seen these before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay. Yeah.
Maybe I'll try
them. You know,
them.
For in the house, it's probably a good idea. Again, people, and we've said this before, you know, think of the hours you're actually in the house, and people are like, well, I just go in the house and sit down. No, you're washing dishes, you're walking through the house, so it's good to wear shoes. You never know. But
they have sneakers too.
Oh, well. All right. So that's about it for this edition of Elder Affairs with Coastal Foot and Ankle. Thank you for coming today.
It's always a pleasure.
And, of course, like always, we look forward to next month and an update on that first patient.
Oh, yes, we will.
All right. Thank you.